it was an easy choice what to discuss tonight. The very last Gaza Corner I did of 2017, I said that despite Assad winning the war in Syria, it was far from over. The victor was clear, but the fact was Turkey and Israel could open up new fronts in the war in Syria. That's what I said. Unfortunately, I was right. Turkey didn't take long to take the plunge. 3 weeks ago on Gaza Corner, I talked about Turkey's invasion of the Kurdish enclave in northwestern Syria called Afrin, and that is still ongoing with civilians, as is always the case, paying by far the heaviest price. Tonight I'll focus on breaking news. It's time like this that I appreciate having the opportunity to do Gaza Corner as an alternative to some misleading headlines that I've been reading in the mainstream media, like the LA Times, for example, has this rather sensationalistic headline, quote, in an apparent first, Iran and Israel engage each other militarily, unquote. That is a false characterization, as Iran did not engage Israel militarily. But don't let that get in the way of a juicy headline and feed the epidemic of misinformation that's helped along by major U.S. media outlets. What did happen earlier today was Israel conducted by far its largest attack inside Syria since the start of the Syrian war in 2011. Israel claims the devastating air assault inside Syria was in response to an Iranian drone, apparently unarmed, that Israel says violated its airspace. Meanwhile, Israel had no problem violating Lebanese airspace in order to violate Syrian airspace and drop bombs. Iran denies Israel's claim and insists that its drone was inside Syria gathering intelligence on Islamic State fighters. It's not even clear where the drone was shot down. The IDF is the Israeli Defense Forces. The IDF spokesman, Jonathan Conricus, says it was shot down deep inside Israeli territory. But virtually all the other reports I've read say it was likely shot down in the illegally occupied Golan Heights, so I don't know. But keep in mind, no country on earth, not even the United States, recognizes Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which was captured from Syria during the Six-Day War in 1967. Claiming a violation of airspace or sovereignty of an illegally occupied territory, I mean, that's just a joke. Israel is a master of being the aggressor while claiming to be the victim. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Danon, called on the UN Security Council to condemn Iran's action and, quote, put an immediate end to Iranian provocations, unquote. On the other hand, Lebanon says it will complain to the UN Security Council, protesting Israel's use of its airspace to target Syria. When it comes to drones, check out this quote from journalist Elijah Magnier, who, while reporting from Syria earlier today, said, quote, there are drones over Syria more than the birds these days, unquote. The fact is, there are Iranian, Russian, Hezbollah, American, and Israeli drones all in Syrian skies, and they never leave Syrian airspace. Syria has invited Russia and Iran and Hezbollah into its country. The U.S. and Israel violate Syrian sovereignty on a daily basis. According to the Washington Post, Israel has shot down several drones that previously tried to, according to the Washington Post, infiltrate its territory from Syria. For whatever reason, this time, Israel chose to respond with a massive bombing campaign inside Syria. To quote a tweet from the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, quote, moments ago, IAF, that's the Israeli Air Force, IAF aircraft targeted the Syrian aerial defense system and Iranian targets in Syria, 12 targets, including 3 aerial defense batteries and 4 Iranian military targets were attacked. Anti-aircraft missiles were fired towards Israel, triggering alarms in northern Israel, unquote. You heard right from the IDF's mouth that this is an assault that targeted 4 Iranian military targets. That's very significant. It's the first time since the beginning of the Syrian war in 2011 that Israel directly targeted Iranian military assets inside Syria. The New York Times and other outlets report that Iranian forces were targeted, but I have not found that to be the case. I check a lot of non-mainstream sources. And according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, the first of 2 separate and successive waves of airstrikes targeted the central desert area near Palmyra in Syria, where Syrian troops and their Iranian-backed allies, including Hezbollah, are known to maintain bases. And it's said that there are unconfirmed reports of casualties among Syrian government forces and the allied militiamen. They did not mention Iranian casualties. This could set the stage for a new wider front in the Syrian war. And to me, the big question is, how will Russia react? Russia has the most influence over Syrian President Assad and also over Iran, doesn't completely control either of them, but has the most influence. Russia can also be a deterrent to Israel. Israel's days of flying over enemy territory and dropping bombs with impunity may be over, as its air supremacy for the first time is in question. This is a tweet from author Max Blumenthal. Quote, having carried out over 100 attacks on Syria since 2011, and I might add, that's a piece of information that an Israeli general very proudly said, and that's not just Max talking out of the air. Having carried out over 100 attacks in Syria since 2011, Israel takes its control over its neighbor's airspace for granted. That ended today with the downing of one of its F-16s by Syrian air defenses, unquote. For the first time since 1982, during Israel's first war on Lebanon, one of its jet bombers was shot down. And this occurred while returning from its bombing run inside Syria. Amos Yadlin, a former Israeli Air Force general who once headed Israel's military intelligence, said the downing of the plane in northern Israel raised the possibility that, quote, Syria may have used a long-range missile that Israel has been worried about. He added, this means Israeli jets are exposed and vulnerable within Israeli borders, unquote. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu has a deconfliction, that's the word they like to use, deconfliction agreement with Putin to not accidentally shoot each other's planes. Russia has given Israel the green light to hit Hezbollah convoys inside Syria, but not to do anything to directly threaten the Assad regime. It would appear that Israel violated that agreement today, targeting 8 Syrian and 4 Iranian targets. 3 years ago, Russia deployed its S-400 missile defense system on Syrian soil, which means Russia is fully capable of shooting down Israeli planes if it so desires. The plane that was shot down was done by a Syrian missile defense system supplied by Russia. The U.S. has the power to rein in Israel, but I question whether a Trump administration obsessed with Iran would act to bring Israel to its senses. The Pentagon gave the obligatory statement, quote, Israel's inherent right to defend itself against threats to its territory and its people is fully supported by the United States. The fact is, Israel has been involved in the Syrian war for years, with airstrikes, including drone warfare, also an ongoing illegal move to extend its so-called buffer zone well into Syrian territory beyond the illegally controlled Golan Heights. And Israel also has been funding and training various Syrian rebel groups. The U.S. gave up on that. Saudi Arabia gave up on that. Qatar gave up on that. But not Israel. Israel has a curious attitude when it comes to warfare. Many would argue Israel has the most effective drone and assassination capability on earth. You should check out, if you want to learn about their history of assassinations, check out the new book, Rise and Kill First, The Secret History of Israel's Targeted Assassinations by Ronen Bergman, who's an Israeli. What we have is a situation where Israel violates Syrian sovereignty on a daily basis, has been attacking through airstrikes, through drones and proxy forces, yet it cries bloody murder when victims of Israeli aggression dare to fight back or violate Israeli airspace. If there's any good news, I think it's that Israel and Iran both recognize it's not in their interest to go to war. Israel does not have carte blanche air superiority in Syria as long as Russia is around. And Israel can't count on the United States as Russia is the new superpower in their backyard. And in an example of Israeli chutzpah, an unnamed Israeli spokesman said after today's massive bombing attack, quote, we're not looking to escalate the situation, unquote. Yeah, that's a great way not to escalate it. He then completely mischaracterized the Israeli bombings as a, quote, a defensive effort triggered by an Iranian act of aggression, unquote. I can't stand the word defense when it comes to military jargon. It should be banned. It's so ridiculous. Remember, we're talking about a drone that may or may not have been Iranian, was probably not armed, because you know Israel would be pushing that narrative if it was. After all, Israel has it in their possession. If it was armed, they would let everyone know, and they've said no comment. Iran also does not want the war to escalate. Both Russian and Iran have no interest in risking the huge gains they've made so far in the Syrian war. To conclude, I'll quote from Haaretz, the newspaper in Israel, an analyst by the name of Zevi Barel, who points out, and I quote, Iran is waiting anxiously for a decision by Trump, expected in May, about the future of the Iranian nuclear agreement and the option of new sanctions the administration wants to impose on Iran. A military clash between Israel and the Iranian forces in Syria could play into Trump's hands and those of the congressional people who would use such a conflict as proof that new sanctions need to be imposed on Tehran. He goes on to say, Iran doesn't want to open another military front with Israel, which could lead Israel to start a war against Hezbollah. This strategy requires Iran to keep a low military profile, unquote. We shall see. But what Israel did today plants the seeds of a new, wider war in Syria that could spill beyond its borders. The music I'd like to play for Gaza Corner tonight dates back to an experience I had in Syria in 2004. We were in Aleppo, which is now largely destroyed. And my girlfriend Clara and I were just walking around, and it was kind of a mall. And we were checking out the store. We went downstairs, and it was kind of cool. And I saw a CD on the counter, and it was a CD by Agricantus, a band that I did the liner notes for. It was an amazing coincidence. An Italian band. Turns out the owner of the shop, a Syrian, fell in love with the band and fell in love with the singer, and they actually were a couple for quite a while. He gave me some music from the Middle East, and I want to play one of the tracks right now. So this dates back to when I was in Aleppo, and this was from Mustafa, who I pray is alive and well. On 91.7, this is Gaza Corner.